Hallelujah. Were y'all having a good time?
Yes.
Can I read you a text I got? I won't tell you who it's from. You'll like it. I'm not going to tell who it's from. He's in the room. He said, man, 1 John 4 means so much more to me now after and during this conference. And he puts the two verses here, 1 John 4:16 and 17. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Amen. And then he added, as he is, so are we. Amen. Glory. So let's just let's put our faith to work just a little bit. So say, I have known and I have believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. I dwell in his love. God dwells in me. This is how my love is made perfect. This is how I have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so am I in this world. We thank you for coming. I tell you, if we can walk in that right there, we're going to change the world. I'm change the world. Well, I have some specific assignments. I have 1,000 messages to give you. So, Darren, lock the door, please. And but I'm going to do my best to only say what he says, because he has a mind for this service, and my job is to follow it as close as I know how. Hallelujah! Praise God. You can open up to John 17. Now, in case you haven't heard this homework assignment, it's as much for you as it is for the whole prayer center. I know we love all of the Word of God. I'm not trying to keep you out of all of the Word of God, but I implore you, I assign you as a teacher. I'm your teacher right now, not a pastor. We all have a homework assignment, and that's to read John 13 through 17 again and again and again. And again, and when you can't stand to read it anymore, read it again and again. I'm telling you, our revival lives in those chapters. Amen. They really do. They live in those chapters. I know they do. I'll know more about it later. We're going to work backwards in it just a little bit today. So let's look first. I'm after John 17:4, but let's lead up to it starting in verse 1. Of course, this is the high priestly prayer of Jesus. This is God the Son praying to God the Father. If there was ever a prayer uttered that is answered, it is this one. Isn't that right? So these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, particularly notice verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. Stop. What does he mean by that? I have glorified thee on the earth. Read the rest of it. He glorified him by finishing the work which thou gavest me to do. I finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And by that I glorified you. I glorified you to the point that I could say to those that saw me, I'm not here to do my own will. I didn't come to do my own work. In fact, it's not even me doing the work. It's the Father in me doing the work. And I allowed Him to finish His work. And I have glorified Him by finishing the work that He gave me to do. Now let's back up a little bit. Go into chapter 15. Verse 8. Hard for me to skip the other verses, but now herein is my Father glorified. Wait, what? Now Jesus, wait a minute. Jesus said, I have glorified you on the earth. How did you do it, Jesus? I did everything that the Father wanted to do through me. I finished the work that He gave me to do. But now He's talking to us. He's talking to the October Conference Prayer Center 2021. Really? And He says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Well, if we're going to glorify Him the same way that Jesus glorified the Father, what does that mean? We're going to finish the work that He gives us to do. How do you finish the work? You let Him do it through you. Now we're back to Monday's message. Now you got to bow your will, which is exactly what Jesus said in John 5:30. In the Amplified, it says, I don't even consult my own will. I'm not there yet. But a lot of times at this point, I do consult my will. And I'm doing my best to say, shut up, when my will disagrees with His will. Especially, I gave you the example of when I really found out for sure that it was His will for me to fast, not you, me. I thought it was great for Pastor Dave to fast. I thought it was great for Daisy to fast. In fact, I think it's just great He asked any of you to fast. But when I found out it was really His will, and He wasn't joking about it. When I found out for sure I'm going to say it again. We all want revelation knowledge. Trouble is, once you see it, you can't unsee it. Once I really knew it was His will for me to fast, there's no backing up now. Because it didn't change my will. The knowledge didn't change my will. I say, you want to fast? Hey, liver. Hey, body, you want to fast? Are you kidding? Don't you know the Texas Roadhouse opens in 10 minutes? Durst thou not knowest that they have bone in ribeye? I got a witness over here. Them big giant baked potatoes. We're going to fast. My body says, it's on. Come on. I'll go make you so miserable. I'll make you so miserable you'll be begging me for a Snicker bar. I'm going to make you miserable till you bow to the will of the flesh. Synopsis of Bronk this morning. How many of y'all want to follow that message? Pray for me. Synopsis. I've listened to everything the man's preached for 19 years, maybe 20. I don't know, everything. I've never heard that message before. He says, there's two wars described in Ephesians. Synopsis. Two wars described in Ephesians. There's 5.5 chapters to help you win the war against the flesh. But once you win the war in the flesh, you only need a half a chapter to defeat the principalities and powers. Do y'all know that's exactly the vision that Dave had? Different words, presented a different way. You remember the vision that Dave had all those years ago? And he saw this people praying and seeking it. There was this dark band around the earth, you know, but people were seeking after God. And every now and then somebody would get a hand up through that dark band, you know, and the hand would glow and they'd come back to the earth. And boy, everybody they laid their hand on would get healed. And another one would get his head up through there. And when it began to glow, and when he come back, he could just teach the very oracles of God. And every now and then, it said maybe a handful in a century, they get their whole body through that thing. And boy, those were the revivalists of old, you know. So when Dave saw that, he said, I know what that black band is. That's the devil. And the Lord said, no, that's your flesh. See? Perfect, same truth. Awesome. Delivered. Now that will of the flesh, how many have found out it's can be a little strong. Not just in the area of fasting, how about in the area of forgiveness? The most miserable people I have known in my 40 years as a Christian are those that don't seem to be able to forgive. And it's just exactly what Jesus said. They're turned over to the tormentors. And I'm not saying they'll wind up in hell. I don't know. I'm not the judge. But they sure live in hell on earth. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. They're tormentors is the perfect word. Yeah. The will of the flesh can be pretty strong. But our job is to be conformed into the image of Christ and allow the Holy... See, none of us can just change. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a change switch? Beep. Like Jesus now. Hallelujah. But none of us can even change ourselves. All we can do is submit to the one who can. His name is the Holy Ghost, and he's been sent here for that very purpose. Now, we read there two verses. Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. Then he says, herein is my Father glorified, talking to us now, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So you can tell it's our Lord's will that we glorify the Father. Isn't that right? We glorify the Father. All right. Now back up one more. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, wait a minute, the works that I do. Jesus, I've enrolled in your school of discipleship because I want you to teach me how to do what you do. Isn't that why you enroll in any school? You want to learn how to karate, however you say it, jiu-jitsu, whatever. You enroll under a master, don't you? And the idea is they're going to teach you what they do so you can do what they do. Well, he just got through saying, you're going to do what I do. So I'm enrolling you in your school. I'm ready. Day one, teach me what to do. Show me how you do what you do. Okay, lesson number one, I'm not doing it. What? I saw you. The man was born blind. I saw you. You hacked up some spit. Just a minute. It's not enough. You made clay. You rubbed that with some clay. And you went, come here. And he went, no. It's not quite. Yeah, that's good. Come here. Splat. I saw you walking on the water. I saw you do it. No, what do you mean it's not you? But see, verse 10, back up just a little bit. Well, verse 9. Have I been so long with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Now here it is. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or just believe me for the very work's sake. Now, I'm just telling you. What if that was the standard of the church? World, believe our gospel because of the works that you see. How many church doors are going to be closed in one weekend? But But that is exactly what we've been called to reinstate. That is exactly why you're here. And you don't have to be an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, or anything else. Because God promised in these last days he was going to raise up Joel's army. And I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now while we're in 14, let's come on down just a little more. Look at verse 22. Judas saith unto him. Now this isn't Judas Iscariot. He understands what Jesus is saying. Jesus is telling him he's leaving. At the same time, if we had time to teach it line by line, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm coming back. Whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Judas is getting a clue. He's going, oh, how is it that you're going to manifest yourself to us? Now, the word manifest, if something is manifest, you see it. It's apparent. You can touch it. It's not theory. It's not ethereal. It's manifest. That's when you pray and the blind eyes open. That's manifestation. How are you going to manifest yourself to us and not unto the world? And it was forever. I don't know how many hundreds of times I've been through these chapters before the connection was made in the next verse for me. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me. I stopped on purpose. How are you going to manifest yourself to us? He's answering the question, if a man love me. Do y'all remember a verse that says, faith worketh by love? If a man love me. It's no wonder that this week, through every various speaker, the love of God has flowed through every message. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but the real love of God, the love of God. How did Alan put it? Alan's, you can only get the love of God from God. Because it doesn't exist on earth unless you find another vessel like Dave, be honest with you, like Dave, that is a container for that love. That's why you're so drawn to Dave. I've seen it. I don't want to go in, but you could just poke Dave with a stick anywhere. And liquid love would just come out. I warn people, don't poke Gary just anywhere. Might get something besides love right there, you know. He's still working on this vessel. But it really was true of Dave. Love. We would watch the Lord manifest himself through Dave. And there's many others that the Lord... I still watch those Catherine Kuhlman meetings. Glory to God, I'm glad they're on the YouTube. Glory to God, every now and then I got to have a fix. And I'll see her point up somewhere. And the place will be packed. She'll point up in the nosebleed section. Someone right there has just now received your heart. You could feel it. Your heart is burning right now. And sure enough, somebody will stand up. And I'll go, Holy Spirit, I want to know you like that. But if any man love me, because Catherine Kuhlman would also say, I love, you know how she, a little dramatic, flowing. I love the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. He's all that I have. I love the Holy Spirit. And she did. How are you going to manifest yourself to us? If any man love me. If any man love me. Now the rest of it. If any man love me, he will keep my words. What if I said it this way? He will do what I say. What if I said it this way? He will submit his will under my will. I hope most of you have been through the First John series. I don't want to get a show of hands. It's available to you for free at both Dave's website and GaryCarpenter.org. I don't think you'll be the same. If you haven't heard it, I don't think you'll be the same after you hear it. It's not because it's the Word of God. That's what does the change. But you're going to find out the subtitle that we put under that, the First John series, is Removing the Gray from Your Gospel. And is that not exactly what it does? Bronk would lead his church. He'd go, "Church, are you saved?" And they'd go, "We're First John saved." It has an effect on your love. It'll cause you to reevaluate what you're doing. It will narrow your path. My path was already pretty narrow, I'll just tell you. The Lord had already cleaned us up a lot. It got narrower after that. Still getting narrower. Every time I think it can't narrow anymore, I see other people. It narrows some more. Just like Bronx said, you can't even watch the commercials anymore. I won't go farther with that. Now, we still haven't got to it. If a man loved me, yes, sir. He said, I went by First John too quick. If you want to, that's some of the yes, sirs. So I'm going to back up. Here's some of the things you'll find out in John, in First John, in that series. A lot of people, they'll tell you, I love Jesus. I do. I love him. They'll even cry. And emotions, genuine emotions, you know. Yet at the same time, they've been sleeping with their girlfriend for 10 years. They get drunk every Friday night. Now, not all of these things, but one of these things. Still dabbling with drugs. Still this, still that. But see, he makes no bones about it. What's amazing is John wrote that epistle 40, 50, 55 years after he heard Jesus teach the things. And all he's really doing is still teaching the same things that Jesus taught. But he just says it really plain. He doesn't sugarcoat it. No. If you love him, you will obey his commandments. You can't live in habitual sin. Now, it's different. Somebody make a mistake and repent and don't do that again. But if you're living in habitual sin, and I mean habitual, John says, you're in real trouble. And you don't love him. He that says that I know him, he that says that I love him and doesn't do his commandments is a liar. John wrote that. He's just a liar and the truth's not in him. And I'm thinking of a friend of mine that heard that series, and I think it rescued him from hell, to be honest with you. Because he called me. And I hadn't been in contact with him for many years. Many years ago I was. And if you're watching, I love you, man. I give you kudos. You did good. He heard that series and it really... He called me. And he says, well, you know, I've been with the same woman for 15 years. But we've never gotten married. He said, am I okay? No, you're not okay. Where does the Bible say that's okay? That's called fornication. And it's called habitual fornication. Well, I'm telling you the truth. He didn't like it at first. But the Holy Spirit hooked him. Long story short, within a few weeks, I got the notice. They got married. Now, see, that's right. That's the way to do it. You know, you find out. It's like Gary starting the fasting. When you find out the truth, you repent. I want to say it again. There's no such thing as change without change. The definition of insanity, you all know, and that's to keep doing the same things and expect different results. Now, Jesus really emphasizes this. I'm going to try not to speak so much and just read. Because here's the question. Is this not why we're at the conference? Came all the way here from Connecticut. You know what they want? When they go back to Connecticut, they want Jesus, the living Christ, to be able to manifest through them. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that why you're here? Isn't that our question? Jesus, how are you going to manifest yourself through us? Let's look at it more closely. How are you going to manifest yourself to us, Lord? We know he's not going to do it through the world. He's got to manifest through his body, right? He's going to manifest through us. If a man love me, he will keep my words. He'll do what I say. He will submit his will under my will. And my Father will love him. And we what? We will come unto him. This is a promise. You yield your will. You come to the place where you yield your will to him the way Jesus did. Because Christ in you, that's exactly what he's still doing. And he's there to help you do it by way of the Holy Ghost. He says, if you'll do this, if you'll come to the place where you surrender your will under mine, where you do what I say, I'm telling you right now, my Father and I, we will come to you. We'll make our abode in you. Then just to make sure that we understand, look, he says, he that loveth me not keeps not my words, keeps not my sayings. He doesn't do what I say. And the word which you're hearing, like even right now, it's not really mine. I'm delivering to you the words of the Father who sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter. Oh, thank God for the Comforter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I want to finish with verse 27, but there's a lot of red words after this. Peace I leave with you. I'll tell you right now, the number one requirement for hearing the voice of God is peace. And I don't mean external peace. You can be right in the midst of the storm. You can have 19 things going wrong at once. And you can have peace right in the middle of it. I was just listening to Dave again. I'm going to give you two more homework assignments. Just listening to this message again, old message by Pastor Dave. Peace I leave with you. And Dave said on there, without equivocation, the number one thing you need in your life in order to hear God is the peace of God. And that's completely independent of your external circumstances. Peace I leave with you, not my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. You let not. Did you notice that? He puts a responsibility on us. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's hard for me to even leave that now. Let's review what we've talked about here so far. Number one, how did Jesus glorify the Father? He finished the works that the Father gave him to do. But how did he finish the works? By submitting his will under the will of the Father and allowing the Father to do the works through him. Then he says, right unto us, the same way that I did the works, you're going to do the works. You're going to learn to submit your, if you love me, you'll learn to submit your will under mine. And I and my Father, if you'll do that, if you'll learn to live that way and do what I say, I and my Father will come. We'll make our abode. Abode means we came to stay. We brought suitcases. We came to stay. We came to move in. So the title of this message is, we looked at glorifying the Father. And he says, when you bear much fruit, you glorify the Father, right? But then he said, this is how he manifests himself. So this message is called Manifested Glory. Now, I'm going to read to you a tongue and interpretation that came to me a while back. But the words of God are eternal. It just is true today. And I know that, try to hear this as though he's talking directly to you, because he is. This is not, trust me, surely you know by now, Gary is not special, okay? I'm just like, we're all special to him. I loved how Jim was jumping around, my baby boy. Yes. Hallelujah. We're all like that to God. Amen? But see, anyway, let me just read it. Hallelujah. Now he's talking to you. Say it. He's talking to me. He's talking to me. Fear not those that say they are apostles and are not. Discern my spirit. Say not 3 months until the harvest, for the harvest is now. Reach forth into my spirit, and that's a capital S, reach forth into my spirit, and gather in those things beyond the veil that I have shown you, for they are yours. Now, I'll have to, what he's talking about there are the miracles, that they belong to us. We can see beyond the veil when we look at Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The blind eyes open. The Tommy Perez's coming out of the wheelchair. Amen. The Victoria's having her brain fully restored. On and on and on we could go. Those, and all of the gifts of the Spirit, all of those things belong to us. Okay? So he says, reach forth into my spirit and gather in those things beyond the veil that I have shown you, for they are yours. Say, they are mine. They belong to me. Christ died for me to have them. Okay, back to this. Now listen to this. He's talking to you. To rescue my sheep requires my arm. To rescue my sheep requires my anointing. To rescue my sheep requires my eyes, my mind, my heart, my everything. That's Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I that live. Well, it is I, but it's not me. It's Christ in me. See, Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. What happens? What's happening? There is a melding, a melting together, a blending. You are becoming one with Christ. Where you think like him. When you see every situation, you see it from his perspective and not yours. He said in a recent word to us, we're going to start looking at things from heaven's view down instead of from earth's view up. We're going to become so one with him, we'll be like Paul, hopefully. Well, it's me. But it's not me. But it's me, but it's Christ in me. You can't really find the end of one and the beginning of the other. Mark, are you here? Mark. Years ago, he says, you know, you take the tea and you pour in the cream. You pour in the sugar. You squeeze the lemon. You stir it. How many wants tea right now? You stir it all up. You stir it all up. Man, that's delicious. Then he hands it to you. He says, take the sugar back out. Take the lemon out now. No. All of those things have become one. Hello, teacup. That's what your body is. It's a teacup. It's a vessel. Paul said it. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. But it's you. You've been poured in there. You know that. Holy Spirit's been poured in there. You know that. But see, the mind of Christ is pouring in now. Stir, stir, stir. Some people call it shaking. I guess you could shake it. What's happening? You're becoming one. One with the mind of Christ, where you don't even think. Yes, sir. Now, my job is not to ignore him, okay? We've done a lot of teaching in this last year about the caterpillar and the butterfly. Here's some statements from those teachings. We have to be delivered from caterpillar thinking. Because a caterpillar, if it's on a leaf, on a bush somewhere, and it sees a really delicious looking bush over there across the yard, and it goes, I want to eat off of that bush. Now for a caterpillar, it has to think like a caterpillar. It has to crawl down the stem, all the way across the yard, trying not to get stepped on. Open a bird, doesn't see it, hiding from birds. It's a caterpillar, right? It's got to think like a caterpillar. And then when it gets there, I didn't realize it was that tall. It's got to go up the stem. It's got to get all the way out there on the leaf. It might take half a day. It might take half a day for this caterpillar to make that journey all the way across to get up on that limb. But see, if that caterpillar ever goes through the metamorphosis, the same entity, now it's the same entity, and it becomes a butterfly, does the butterfly think about crawling down the stem? Does it think about crawling across the yard? What does a butterfly do? It's called a butterfly because it flies. And it doesn't think like a caterpillar anymore. Now, what's happened in the church, we're wanting to fly, but we've not been willing to go through the metamorphosis, and we still think like caterpillars. So what's happening is we're sending caterpillars to flying school. You didn't get that. We're sending caterpillars to flying school. Will that work? What if the caterpillar is a good student? And it goes to all the classes and it passes with A's and it gets a little plaque on the wall. But it's still a caterpillar. See, and this is where the complete metamorphosis, a surrender of your will, surrender of everything you know, surrender of what's possible. It's a metaphor. It really is. That's why it's, yes, sir. That's why. You can preach if you want. I don't care. See, it's Romans 12. I don't have that in my notes. He's bringing it to me. Romans 12. Well, that is Romans 12, 1 and 2. See, we're wanting to present our bodies. What we've done in the past to a certain point, we have presented our bodies to do caterpillar things. And it's not wrong to do some caterpillar, feed the poor. Clothe the naked, pass out tracts, all of that's good. Any human can do those things. And we've also presented our bodies somewhat holy. But that's not what it says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies holy. I think about, did Jesus present his holy? Did he? Did he? Absolutely he did. If we present ours holy, it'll be acceptable. But what if we don't? What if we present it unholy? Will it be acceptable? See, we're in training under the master, and Jesus said, you'll never be above the master, but it's enough that the student, the disciple, be as his master. Now, bless God, he presented his body holy, and we have that same capacity. We can present our bodies holy and acceptable to the Lord. Be no longer conformed to this world, but be you transformed, and that's the word. Metamorpho. Go through the metamorphosis now. Again, I know many of you have heard this in recent times, but you're going to hear it again. Metamorphosis is not pleasant for the caterpillar. First, it has to spin that cocoon. So its first thing that it enters, I'm going to become a butterfly. I'm so excited. The first thing that happens is total darkness. Inside that cocoon, there's no light at all. That so reminds me of the tabernacle that God had Moses erect in the wilderness. There was an outer court, and that's where the sacrifices were offered. That's where you brought the flesh. That's where the flesh is offered. And that's where the brazen altar and the basin where you washed, but beyond the outer in the outer court, it's open to the sky. It's just got a big fence. You're not inside a tent there. It's open to the sky. With the type and shadow, yes, you can be a Christian. You can offer the blood of Jesus. That's how we all get saved, right? But see, you can live there. If you live there your whole life in the outer court, you're still walking by the light of day, the light of this world. You're going to heaven, but the light that you walk by is still pretty much the light of this world. See, beyond the outer court is the inner court, not the Holy of Holies, but the inner court. And it was covered with thick, leather. One says badger skin, one translation. Another one says dolphin skin. I don't know where they get dolphins in the wilderness. Let Jim research that. Maybe they imported them. There is an ocean not too far away. I don't know. But the point is, it's thick. This is a thick tent. And it has no windows. You have to go through a veil to get into it. And if it was not for the menorah, the 7-branch candlestick, if it wasn't lit, just like the caterpillar, you would enter into total darkness because there is no outside light there. What does that represent? The 7 spirits of God. That's the Holy Ghost bringing the light of Christ to you. The entrance of thy word bringeth light. That's where you learn to live by the new man. That's where you learn to live by the inner witness. That's the very conscience that Bronk read there in Romans about where you learn to judge every thought. Yes, no, yes, no. I'm learning to live by the light of Christ. Then there's the altar of incense. Well, that's where you learn to worship. Jim, worship and prayer. Worship your prayers and your worship to God. You know what that's right in front of? That incense altar is right in front of the Holy of Holies. But you know the veil has been torn in two, right? You know you can go right in there. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. What a type, though, that inner court, see, for the cocoon. You thought, I forgot about that poor little caterpillar. It's a perfect... One time I was teaching on the tabernacle, and he showed me that cocoon. I said, oh, my goodness. It's the first step of the metamorphosis. I refuse any longer to live by the light of this world. I'm going to live by the light of Christ. I'm going to be conformed, transformed. No longer be conformed to this world. I'm going to be transformed by this metamorphosis process. And I'm not going to walk like the world anymore. And I'm going to present my body holy. I researched quite a few years ago about the metamorphosis process. Do you know what happens to the caterpillar? It starts secreting an enzyme that eats itself up. It literally liquefies. How many have felt like that in the prayer closet? Like Alan said, at first my soul was all excited about, oh, we're going to go to the prayer closet, going to get a pretty wife, going to get a new car, going to get a big house. But pretty soon it finds out I'm being liquefied. I'm going away. Every time we come in this place, I'm going away. You want to pray for, well, how many hours? No. It's not pleasant for the soul a lot of times. You don't get your way. But he says, if you love me, yes, sir, you'll obey my commandments. I like to say it this way. You'll submit your will under my will. And if you'll do that, then the promise is the Father and I will move in. And we will manifest ourselves. And that is manifested glory, which brings me back to the paper. All right. To rescue my sheep requires my eyes, my mind, my heart, my everything. Rescue my sheep. Seek me and praise me. Seek me. 3 times he says that. Seek me and praise me. Seek me and praise me. My heart, listen to this. My heart beats within you. My heart beats within you, says the Lord. A cutting away of unnecessary things is rapidly approaching your life. Say it with me. He's talking to me. I'm going to say it again. A cutting away of unnecessary things is rapidly approaching your life. You have not known, you have not discerned, nor understood my plan. But I'm going to reveal those things unto you, so that you may cut away this and you may cut away that, in order that you may walk with manifested time to accomplish all those things I have truly called you to do. Now, how do we glorify the Lord? We finish the work He gives us to do. We don't glorify Him by finishing the work we gave ourselves to do. Did you get that? Jesus said, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. He's talking to me. Manifested glory is what you will walk in. Manifested glory, says the Lord. I told you I would light the path more clearly up ahead. Now the light is turning up. The light is turning up, and your path shall be so bright, you will not be able to misstep off of it. Say it again. He's talking to me. Now listen. I am conforming you into the exact likeness of my Son. You will walk as Him. Now wait, before I even read this, say it with me. See, you're safe. This is Scripture. As He is,
as he is,
so am I
in this world.
But He's talking to you, and He says, you will walk as Him. You will speak as Him. You will act as Him. And you will have the results that He had. Well, what do you think it means? As He is, so am I in this world. I think we ought to say that. I will walk as Him. I will speak as Him. I will act as Him. And I will have the results that He had. Then He says, you must know that this is an easy thing for my Spirit.